Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 108, 108. You can find all the links at theaterfolk.com/episode108. So today, all theater, middle school theater. We're talking the middle school musical and a super fun middle school play. Let's do it. All right. Hello, everybody. I am thrilled today to be talking to Brian Barocca. Hello, Brian.
Hi there.
Hi. And so Brian is one of our theater folk playwrights. He has written a wonderful, delicious play called Rochambeau. And we're going to get into Rochambeau and what on earth Rochambeau means, because when I first got the play, I had to look it up. And it was one of those moments, Brian, where you're because I'm a word freak. And so when I see a strange word and then it's actually something that is related to something I already know.
Right.
Well, you just made my day. Little things amuse me, I think.
It's a great word. I love the title. I'm glad that it means what it means.
Yeah, totally. All right. So now that all of you are in suspense, we're going to ignore that for a little while. Because what we want to start out with is, so where are you in the world, Brian?
I am in Greenwich, Connecticut, USA.
And you have a very sort of unique story, I think, in that you have taught both middle school and high school. Is it middle school and high school in the same school?
Yeah, it's in the same school.
Ah.
Works out really well. You know, it's actually the school itself goes all the way from elementary all the way up through high school, all on the same campus.
Do you like that? Do you like having all those grades in the same area?
Yeah, I think it's great, especially because there are a lot of teachers like me who get to work across disciplines. So I work with some of the high school kids, I work with some of the middle school kids, and a lot of other teachers do the same. So the kids now that I'm teaching in high school, a lot of them I've directed since they were in fifth grade, which is kind of nice.
And how is that? That must be really good for creating community and sort of relationships with students.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, I mean, this school is Greenwich Academy. It's just a fantastic school. Everybody's very supportive. Everybody really works together well. It's definitely a school that works. And that happens a lot. I mean, you really get to develop strong bonds with the kids because you kind of work with them in so many different ways. And we're all kind of together on a relatively small campus. So it has a really good community feeling to it.
Why did you decide to go into teaching drama?
Well, a lot of it is, you know, I did a lot of acting when I was a student. I did a lot of writing when I was a student. And in college, I studied playwriting and I studied theater. And sort of one of my first jobs after college was being an actor in a touring children's theater troupe. And I just loved kind of putting on shows for kids and seeing how excited kids got when you did shows for them and did anything theatrical for them. So that kind of first got the bug in my mind about, well, maybe I can actually do something that's a job that's related to my love of theater and playwriting without having to worry about being a working actor necessarily, and kind of like use the energy that I got from working with doing children's theater and then look into the possibility of being a teacher. And so I sort of went down that road and it's worked out very well for myself.
That's good.
I've been very pleased.
Well, it's always a good thing because sometimes people who strive for acting and being theatrical are not necessarily the best teachers.
Exactly. Definitely true. And I think the experience that I've had working with young people kind of right out of college helped me a lot because I kind of got a sense of where they were coming from early. And I just really connected well, especially with the middle school and high school age groups. And, it just kind of worked out. And I'm really glad that I made that choice because I have a lot of friends who are struggling to be actors. And it's a lot more stressful to go down that road than to have the stability of being a teacher in a job where, like I said, I'm so supported by my administration.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, first of all, the middle school level. There's lots of places out there that just don't have drama at the middle school level. Why is it important to start drama so young with students?
Well, I think a lot of it is it gives them confidence. I mean, the kids that I work with in middle school are so excited about sort of trying different things, and they're kind of open and they're less cynical than some of the high school kids. So you can really like kind of help them come out of their shell and be a little bit silly and be a little bit crazy and kind of give them the chance to be on stage and to play different characters and to kind of help build that confidence that will serve them in anything that they do as as high schoolers and beyond. I feel like that's the number one thing. The other thing is it's good at kind of creating a sense of unity and kind of coherence. I mean, a lot of them are first being on sports teams for the first time. And so they have that experience. And this is kind of a less competitive environment where they get to work with kids that they may not normally know. And I don't know, it feels like they're open to things as middle schoolers that theater really kind of serves that need.
And I think one of the really cool things you do, so you actually teach a musical theater class for your middle school students.
Right. Yeah. There's the eighth graders can kind of choose a bunch of different electives. It's sort of the first year that they get to make those choices. So one of the electives that they can choose is musical theater, which I co-teach with the music teacher. And so she and I work together with the main focus being creating a musical featuring the students in that class.
Okay. So when you, is it a musical that they create or one that you choose?
Yeah. Directing a musical, I should say.
That's okay.
It's one that we choose, not an original piece.
Okay. So let's get into that. Like the whole process of putting on a musical with grade 8 students. So what kind of pieces are you looking for?
Well, I mean, it's tough because the first place we go, you know, MTI Junior sort of publishes musical shortened versions of popular musicals that are specifically geared towards middle school performers. So that's kind of like the first point of exploration in terms of shows. So for example, they'll do a lot of the Disney shows, which are very popular. Like we've done Mulan Junior, we've done High School Musical Junior. So the good thing about using MTI Junior is that they have plays that are specifically geared for this time frame with this age group, and they kind of give you all the materials, not to push another publishing company, but they give you all the materials that you need.
Hey, man, you know, they're
make the show happen.
They're the place to go for musicals. I'm like, and you know, our listeners are teachers, you know, I think it's important to kind of put out there where you go. So I'm cool with that.
Well, I mean, because a lot of the kids will know that the Disney shows have a built-in appeal. I mean, I will tell you, if I put it to a vote, that the kids all want to do those kind of shows that they remember from their youth. You know, all those Disney shows are very, very popular.
Do you have a challenge when you're picking plays, though, because you have to use a class? And I'm assuming you have to use everybody in your class.
Yeah, it's really challenging. There's a couple of challenges. I mean, there's one, ran into a little bit of difficulty when we did like Thoroughly Modern Millie Jr., where you have certain, and this is a challenge that's interesting, it comes up a lot in high school too, where you have certain roles that are written for specific ethnicities.
Yes.
And might not have that, you know, so you kind of run into problems where do you want to cast someone who is the ethnicity that the role calls for, or go outside of that box and try something different, but then are you kind of muddling the message that the play is trying to communicate? So, I mean, that's one interesting challenge, to take the group of kids that you have and find a play that suits them. Because we're going into it kind of backwards, where we already have the cast before we choose the musical.
Do you ever do auditions in your class, or do you choose parts for them?
No, we definitely hold auditions. So we choose the play, and then we're kind of auditioning for who gets to be which role within the class.
So what's that like?
It's horrible. I mean, because, you know, you're going to have kids who are, especially, you know, these kids are so young, they're going to be very sad if they don't get the part that they want. You know, we'll do High School Musical, and everybody wants to be Gabriella, and most of the kids are not going to be that part. So it's a really, really tough process, especially because we have to work with these kids. I mean, I think that's one of the hardest things about being a middle school drama teacher is kids get taken very personally when they don't get lead roles. And you have to maintain that kind of relationship that you talked about earlier with the students who you're going to teach and work with for years to come. And you don't want, and a lot of middle schoolers will get that impression, oh, this teacher hates me because this teacher doesn't think I'm talented because I didn't get the part that I wanted in a play. I mean, it just has such a powerful impact for kids that age. And especially, you know, having a lead role in a musical in middle school is a pretty big deal. And when you have a bunch of kids competing for that, for those one or two parts, it's really tough. I hate, casting is my least favorite part of my job because I know I'm breaking a lot of hearts in the process.
When you set up the audition, what do you ask students to prepare?
Usually we'll have them do a selection from a song and then an excerpt from the play. So semi-cold reading, where I'll kind of give it to them to look at from the acting side. I'll give them a piece to look at a little bit in advance, and then I'll have them do it. And then the other key thing is to give them some direction and see how they take the direction. So I'll have like a pair of kids do a scene one time, and then I'll give each of the kids a little bit of a couple of directing notes and kind of see how they respond, see if they do it differently the second time through.
Do you give them class time to prepare their auditions, or is this a strictly out of class exercise?
Yeah, we make this like an in-class experience. So like early on in the semester, we'll have our audition day where we'll usually do it over 2 days. We'll have one day be mostly the singing day and then one day be the acting day.
And I'm assuming that you assess that the audition is also an assessment exercise as well. How do you assess the audition process?
Well, a lot of it has to do with, like, do they make strong choices? I mean, this is something I tell the kids all the time, is to just make a choice. It might not necessarily be the choice that ends up working for the part, but try something. Try to kind of bring something to what you're doing in the audition. And then if you get a direction that says try something else, be willing to go in a completely different direction than what you had thought of in the first place. So that's usually what I'm looking for as a director in terms of assessing their audition is, you know, did they make a strong choice and are they able to take direction well?
Mm-hmm. So how long do you rehearse the musical?
We rehearse the musical over 7 weeks, and we try to do the rehearsals during class time. This class is structured that we meet twice a week for an hour and a half each time. It's like an afternoon arts elective block, different from their regular academic schedule. So we do most of the rehearsals in class until we get to about the 2 weeks before showtime, and then we'll start doing some after-school rehearsals.
How do rehearsals go at the middle school level, particularly when, you know, musicals are intense?
Yeah.
Are you literally rehearsing for all 7 weeks? Do you take breaks? What is that rehearsal process like specific to these young performers?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is a lot of time into learning the songs, of course. So we try to kind of break it up between music time and acting time. Because, yeah, an hour and a half even is a long time for kids this age to be focused on one thing. So they'll, like, learn the songs, they'll sing the song. I'll take a couple of kids out and maybe we'll work on one scene together. Like, we try to balance it out so that I can pull kids who are in one scene while my colleague works with kids on singing something else. I mean, my big thing is to keep it fun. I feel like a lot of times kids in a play, the play itself becomes this horrible, stressful experience, all the rehearsals and long hours. So one of the things that I try to pride myself on is making the rehearsal time just fun and light and easy. And like you said, you know, taking some breaks and, you know, not working them too hard to the point that they, you know, aren't enjoying the process, which is, you know, that would defeat the purpose of why we're doing a play.
You include a lot of games in that respect. Like, do you have them, like, do character development games or just mind break games? What kind of exercises are part of your rehearsal process?
Well, we have some fun kind of vocal warm-ups that are very popular. You kind of do some tongue twisters and do some a little bit of physical, a little bit of vocal warm-up. It's sort of like a regular thing for every rehearsal. So that becomes like kind of fun way that we kind of start, and they shift gears from being in academic mode to being in theater mode. So we do sort of a bunch of standard vocal and physical warm-ups. And, you know, there's not a ton of character work that you can do in these sort of 40-minute really short musicals. But, you know, again, I feel like a lot of the stuff happens, you know, we have this class all year round. So we get to do sort of more acting technique stuff in class, whereas when we're rehearsing for the musical, we can focus on just kind of making the show itself work.
Why do you think this class is important for middle school students? What are they learning?
Well, I think a lot of it is, number one, it's a fun way for them to get all this energy out that they have during the day. I mean, they're taking all these academic classes, and then now they get to be up on their feet. They get to be creative. They get to have fun. They get to be funny. You know, they're learning confidence. One of the things that I get a lot from parents is that they appreciate how well the kids can speak and articulate after doing a show, because that's one of the things that we focus on so much. Because I feel like the number one complaint that I hear about middle school shows is, oh, we couldn't hear the kids. So I go out of my way to make sure that's not a problem on our shows. And I feel like that goes a long way, because these kids in classes now have to do so many of these presentations, get up in front of the school, get up in front of the class. So I feel like by doing a show, it really helps to kind of make that less scary, because we do the show in front of the whole middle school at the end. And so they're going to have like an audience of not only just their peers, but like the whole 5th through 8th grade watching. And it's such a great moment when they do a show for the kids and they get all the support and the kids are laughing and cheering and they kind of feel like rock stars, you know?
It's not a bad feeling, right? Everyone wants to feel like a rock star.
Exactly.
So, and then as you get to the end of that, you know, it's a very long rehearsal process. There's lots that these students have to take on their shoulders.
Right.
So how do you deal with student frustrations, student breakdowns, which I'm sure are much more pronounced at 12 than they would be in high school?
Yeah, you definitely do get some of that, especially as you said, as you go down to the wire. So I think part of it is, you know, one-on-one conversation sometimes. I mean, the good thing is I'm kind of co-directing this with the music teacher. So we both can kind of have an eye on kids that seem like something might be going on with them. So we're able to maybe pull them out for a minute and kind of talk to them and see what's up and see what they're stressed about. The good thing too is that I'm always in touch with the middle school director, who can tell me, oh, this girl is having trouble in her classes, so you should be on the lookout for her at rehearsal. She was very sad about a bad grade that she got in such and such a class. So I feel like that communication helps to prevent any big surprises. So we kind of know kind of what kids are going through stresses in the rest of their academic and social life. So we just try to be sensitive to that, try to kind of, you know, if we need to pull the kid out of rehearsal for a while, if they need to lie down for a little bit, that's okay. Not to make kids feel like they can't come to one of us if they're having an issue, to kind of make it an environment where if they're stressed out, they can say that they're stressed out and we can kind of deal with it and work around them.
Okay. So as we wrap on this, do you have a favorite musical that you've done?
You know, there's a show called Dear Edwina Jr., which we did last year, which was really fun. It was like one of the few that wasn't based on kind of either a Disney show or a Broadway show that the kids knew. And it was just so silly and light, and the parts were very evenly spread out among everybody, and everybody kind of got their little moment to shine. So I think that for that reason, it was a really fun show to do.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice ensemble, not too many stars kind of show.
Exactly.
Okay, what's the one musical that if you never did again, you could live a happy man?
Well, the Millie Experience was really I mean, I liked it because it was so girl-focused. You know, you had a lead who was female, but the whole, dealing with cultural sensitivities and characters who are kind of parodies of Asian stereotypes, it was just a kettle of fish that I don't know was necessary to open that up on the middle school level.
Right, right. And what advice would you give to a middle school teacher who is sort of maybe thinking about the musical experience at that level as kind of daunting?
Well, I think if you kind of like go into it with a, we're going to have a good time with this attitude, as opposed to this needs to be a show that can be on Broadway attitude, I feel like a long way. I know you don't want to sacrifice quality, but I feel like some of my colleagues, other teachers that I've known can find themselves just pulling their hair out and getting so stressed over like the minutia of the choreography or something with the set not going right. And I feel like if you take a step back and say, you know, look at what we're getting. It's more about process than product.
Yeah.
And if we have a fun process and have the kids get something out of it. I mean, you always get the Music Man phenomenon where the parents love it no matter what happens. and so don't worry so much if it's not quite, you know, if it's not quite ready for Broadway.
Yeah. Well, and what's the educational aspect, right? The educational aspect is always going to be in your process and not in your product.
Right.
Really. All right, so let's get into... So, Brian, you have written this a play for us called Rashombo. So please tell everybody what Rashombo is.
So Rashombo is sort of the official name for rock, paper, scissors.
I love that.
That everybody knows and loves. And amazingly, there actually do exist Rashombo tournaments around the world where people come and play rock, paper, scissor and actually compete in these tournaments, which just seemed like the craziest thing I'd ever heard of when I encountered this.
Was that finding that out? Did that sort of spark the inspiration to write a play around it? Or?
Well, I sort of merged that with noticing how serious folks are about sports, even at the middle school level at school. And so seeing like these hardcore parents and coaches kind of really, really getting serious about sports with kids who are sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, I thought, wouldn't it be funny if we kind of spoofed that through this rock, paper, scissor idea where you have kids who are pressured to be the best rock, paper, scissor player in the world. And so the play kind of takes off from there.
But it's like, it's really fun. And I think the characters are really fascinating. And you've put this on at your school, yes?
Yes. Yeah. I wrote this actually specifically for, I was doing a seventh grade play and I knew a lot of the kids and I felt like this would be the kind of show that would work with the kids that we have. And so we put it on with our seventh graders.
And how did they respond to it?
They had so much fun with it. I mean, the rock, paper, scissor tournament concept just was so silly to them too. They thought it was hilarious and they couldn't believe also that it was a real thing. And we actually like in the play itself, like we have these showdowns where the kids are playing rock, paper, scissor against each other and there's a ref and there's coaches.
Well, and then there's parents who are like so like insane about their child being the number one rock, paper, scissors competitor and the number two cheating. And it's just, I think it's great to take something so silly and put it into such a serious world.
Right. Thanks. Yeah. I mean, because the kids can recognize a lot of that because a lot of them are, you know, athletes who are being pushed and maybe to the point where it gets a little crazy. So I think they had fun making a little bit of a spoof of all of that nonsense. And they also, the good thing that I found with a play that I had written for them is that we could change stuff. Like if they had an idea for a funny bit, I could throw it in and okay, that sounds great. Let's add a funny bit. So a lot of times the kids would say, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we had her say this? And you know, we were able to make changes and add things and that came from them, which you know you don't always obviously get to do when you buy a script that's already been licensed.
Well, and when you're working on something for the first time, that's sort of the ideal experience, isn't it? That you can not only, when you have your play at the end, you have a play that you know works, which not all playwrights do.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that the kids are kind of call you out on stuff. They're like, well, no kid would actually say this.
Oh, that's awesome.
They help me out with the lingo for what 12-year-olds are talking about. And although of course that all changes within the year. I mean, I've gone through like the phase where they were all obsessed with One Direction to Justin Bieber to, you know, God knows what's coming next.
Yeah, those are the two things I've learned never to put in a play are slang and technology.
Exactly.
I have a play that literally, because this is what we did, what I did in schools, and you exchange tapes with people, you know, like you made a mixtape. And then, you know, and then I had to change it to CD, and then I just left it in the world that it was, because that doesn't exist. That whole notion of exchanging tapes doesn't exist anymore. Like, it's gone. And soon phones are going to be gone.
I know. Now it's like a period piece when you have that stuff. I feel like when you get input though from the kids, like, you must have noticed like middle school plays where the kids don't know what the heck they're saying and it feels so alien to them. And so they're not really owning the characters. And so what I thought was cool is that we can make sure that the kids in this particular play, like, felt like confident with who they were playing, that what they were saying was that they had a role in shaping that.
And I think that's important. I think it's important to, and that's kind of where our thinking is that we need plays that are written specifically for the age group.
Yeah.
I get playwrights who try to counter that to me and say, oh, it's important for students to play older characters. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You can go somewhere else. Here, I want, and I think that the best compliment that, it's certainly in Rochambeau for sure, is that the characters sound like the age that they're playing.
Right.
You know, and the best compliment I get is that when somebody has said to me, it's like, oh, you must have taught middle school at some point. You know, because it's so clear, and it's like that's when I do my little Rocky fist in the air. Awesome. Okay, so that's Brian Barocca and his wonderful play Rochambeau, which is literally the world of rock, paper, scissors tournament play as serious as sports. I think that's the tagline for this play. Wonderful characters, wonderful age-appropriate characters for middle school. So easy to stage and just basically a ton of fun. It is a ton of fun in 35 minutes or less, and I think that's wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for talking to me, Brian. It's been great. And have you started back to school yet? You must be gearing up.
Gearing up. We haven't started yet, but I'm already getting all the emails and the paperwork. So it's coming soon.
All right. I'll let you get back to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian. So the links for this episode can be found at theaterfolk.com/episode108. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. So Brian talked about his play Rochambeau. So let's hear from the play itself with It's a Play Feature, It's a Play Feature, It's Time to Feature a Play. Okay, so Rochambeau is all about the intensity that can go into an organized sport. In this case, it's rock, paper, scissors. This is scene 2. We have Coach K. Coach K is the coach of Team Strike Force. And we have Amanda, who is a very, let's say, intense rock, paper, scissors player. Nope, we have Lindsay, who is a very intense rock, paper... How could I forget that? Lindsay is a very intense rock, paper, scissors player. Amanda, not so much, as you'll see. That's what I get for reading and not reading. Okay, so scene 2. Coach K enters. Team Strike Force. First positions. At ease. All right, good, ladies. Now listen up. The National Youth Rochambeau Rankings came out today. Amanda. Ooh, how exciting! Amanda, you're not on the list. Unranked, just like last year. Lindsay. Whatever. Get to the point. Who is number one, as if I don't know? Who is number one? Well, funny you should ask, because the answer is not you. What? Give me that. This has got to be a mistake. It's no mistake. It's a disaster. You've dropped to number 2. Second place. Shameful. There has to be a mix-up. Can't you talk to someone? I don't think so. Oh, come on, coach, please. Fine, I'll talk to the Rochambeau Ranking Committee. You two practice the skipper. 100 skippers apiece. Now get to it.
Wait, coach! What's a skipper again?
You tell her, Lindsay. I'm out of here. A skipper, Amanda. Come on, it's a standard Rochambeau play. You start to throw scissors, but when you see the other player throwing rock, you change it to paper at the last second. Like this.
Isn't that cheating?
Duh. Now let's practice. You're doing it wrong.
Sorry. Hey, so if you're not number one, who is?
Some girl named Taylor.
Taylor? I think I know that girl.
Oh, really? Well, that gives me an idea. Walk with me. Now, Lindsay, which is a very wonderful name, but I don't think she's going to do something very nice. Anyway, it's such great humor, really great characters, really age-appropriate characters. This is written for middle school students. It was performed by middle school students and would be absolutely such great fun. It's such a different type of fun that I think that a lot of middle school plays have for their students, which of course is why it's in our catalog. Okay, so that's Rochambeau by Brian Barocca. That's Baroque with an A. You can find the link to the play with free sample pages for you to read at the show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode108. Finally, where oh where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.